You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. All right, we're going to see how this goes because I have had a lot of coffee. And we're going. It's the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin, you guys. Hello. Welcome again. This is episode 136. I am still sober. This is still a podcast. Still coming to you every week during the most emotional and mentally taxing time in modern history. And because of that, if you are maintaining your sobriety and recovery, congratulations. You have to understand how amazing it is that you're doing that. And if you're not a sober person, which a lot of you are not, but you just like listening to me blabber, congratulations on maintaining your sanity through all the shit. It's impressive. I'm just saying that. I'm just saying it's impressive. And good for you. I did drink too much coffee. Not too much. We'll see if it's too much. My body will let me know a little bit later if it's too much. Currently, it feels like enough or a lot, but enough to do all the errands that I have for the rest of the afternoon while my wife is out with the dog, going hiking with a friend, leaving me with this whole afternoon to do whatever the fuck I want. And so I can yell anyway. She listens to headphones in the other room. She's like, oh, are you going to record? Okay, let me put on something loud enough so I don't hear you. And I totally get it. I don't want... the roles were reversed. I'd be like, honey, could you do that somewhere else? I don't like listening to you talk to not me. I got back from the grocery store. Because I do have that weird thing where, you know, I have that on my mind and I had to get certain items and I'm like, well, should I record first and then go to the grocery store? No, because if I do that, then I'm going to be trying to talk to my listeners whilst going, I got to remember to get sour cream. Taquitos without sour cream are bullshit. Like, I got to do it. So I went ahead and took care of that. And at the grocery store, This consistently works for me. My wife likes to let them bag the stuff because it's like, look, they're getting paid. I'm not getting paid. I'm not bagging my own shit. And I get that argument. However, I know how to bag stuff. I know specifically my stuff. I know how I buy the same things almost every time I go to the store. You know, and I got the same four bags that I take. Like, I know how to put things in the bags for me. So I don't want anybody doing them because I straight up tell them. They're like, hey, I'm like, I got it. I'll take care of it. And I just flat out tell them because I have control issues. It's kind of startles them. It's kind of off-putting, but they kind of respect it because I'm taking the pressure off of them going, hey, man, I know you're probably good at your job, but you have to understand that I have mental issues that I'm working on, and it's directly connected to how that shit goes in these fucking bags. So let me do it. This has nothing to do with you, man. It's all me. I'm broken in my brain, and I'm aware of it. But until that's fixed, and it may not be fixed, let me put the smoothie ingredients in a bag instead of you. I bet you're great at it. I won't appreciate it the way that it should be appreciated. So get the fuck out. Let me do it. But, you know, said nicer. And it's worked almost every time I do it. One time it did not. One time I got a dirty look because it was an older lady. And I don't know if she thought that I thought that she couldn't do it because she's a woman, which doesn't make any sense to me. because if anything, I'm sexist in the other way, thinking, well, women do a lot of shopping. I bet she's amazing at it. So I'm not sexist in the way that she thinks. I'm sexist in a different way. But she just kind of she thought I was being ageist because she was older than me and I'm old. So it's like, I can do stuff. Yes, but you have to understand, I have control issues. Also, my ego won't allow me to let an older woman do this while I stand there and do nothing. I'm going to let you do... I mean, you're going to get paid anyway. Let me do it. Take five, Nana. But yeah, she gave me a dirty look. So, but that's fine. I know it's probably one of these things. Look, I have to prove to management that my job is essential. And you're taking away work from me. Nah, you're getting paid by the hour. Let me do it. I don't know. But that happened once. That was not at all what I wanted to talk about for a third of this podcast. I did not expect, or a fourth, whatever. I didn't expect to try to figure out why that goddamn lady got mad at me. Look, I want to do my own thing. I would love to go to the self-checkout, but it's 10 items or less. And I can't get away with it with 24 items. I always go through the 10 items or less when I have like 13 or 14 items. Because fuck you, it's just four more items. And they're small. You don't know. I'm taking space out of the line. Yes, I'm justifying this. All right. Moving on. What was I going to... Oh, God. So, one second. I'll get to that. Yeah. So I can't believe that there are actually people that still hang flyers on telephone poles and light poles. Some of them I understand. They basically come out to be the only things that I've seen on telephone poles in the modern this age is sometimes there's show flyers. Still, maybe not now, but before pandemic, there were show flyers that got put up on telephone poles. But the other two things are either there's missing pets still get put up there. And also flyers stating that our government is a fascist regime. And this goes without, it does, you could say it's because of Trump. It's not just because it's every president we've ever had. Doesn't matter. There's always flyers telling you about fascism. Latest ones I just saw were lessons in fascism. Number 6, number 9, number 4. They were like, and I read none of them because I don't need somebody who was born after 9/11 telling me about fascism. I'm being ageist as fuck, but I don't need somebody who took a class in college or watched a YouTube video and suddenly they're in tune with the way things are in the world. I went through the 90s. I got it. I bought a Rage Against the Machine album. I think I got a grasp at least at the level that you do. But it's what's weird about this is, and I understand because the missing pets flyers still work because people notice the picture on there and like, oh, my God, it's a cat. And sometimes they're, it looks like it's made by the same person. The United States is fascist. Socialism is the way to go. Also, be on the lookout. For Chairman Meow is missing. Please look for Chairman Meow. Also, he answers to pss, 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 pss. because no cat knows his name. What's weird to me is the fact that people put, like, how do they print? Did they go to Kinko's to tell me about fascism? Or did they go to their moms? Because I don't think anybody under 50 owns a printer anymore. It's weird to me. It's even funnier to me that they took the time to go to their mothers. Mom, I got to print out some stuff for school. Yeah, that's it. School. So they print off all the stuff instead of making a social media post about it, which will reach far more people. Or do a dance on TikTok while they're talking about fascism. So I beg their girlfriend, come on, please do this synchronized dance with me. I've got to tell people. These sheeple won't listen to me unless we're popping locking. The idea that they took that much time to go to their mothers, print off some shit, and go around, they had to buy staples. When's the last time anybody bought staples? These people are. They're buying staples. They're stapling the flyers to a telephone pole instead of posting a TikTok. Stapling these flyers on a telephone pole while people walk by, not looking at the flyer because they're looking at TikTok on their phone. Now that is irony. You hear me, Alanis? That's what irony is. Anyway. By the way, that's actually what those telephone poles with flyers on it. That's the 90s version of Reddit. That's what we had in the 90s. That was our Reddit, was staring at telephone poles while we walked down the street. Just letting everybody know. So I got to talk about this. And it's funny because I'm sharing what somebody else said. They were bitching about another person. And but I'm not using any names. And nobody involved would even listen to this podcast. And if you did, and if they did and heard this, I don't really give a shit. Because I didn't tell them things directly. Because I don't comment on social media anymore. Not in a serious, if it's a good joke maybe. But, you know, it's just a kind of a waste of time. Nobody's going to read something that you post and go, I never thought of it that way. Thanks for sharing. I've changed my mind. That doesn't happen. So I'm going to talk about it now. Somebody posted on social media. Not going to tell you which one. It doesn't matter. Just I'm keeping it vague. But they're basically, it was a brag about seeing live music. They just moved here from California. And they're excited because they're watching live music at ACL Live. Specifically, the Moody Theater at ACL Live here in Austin, Texas. And it was basically kind of a brag. And like, I can't believe, look at me. I'm watching music live. Like it was a feat. You know, it's like, this is amazing. And I get why, because they came from L.A., where shit's really not run. It's really dumb. You know, everything's closed down. Then they're like, okay, well, now you can, now people can eat outside. I know we said before you couldn't, but now we're going to let you, but you can't have TVs or whatever. They're like, there's nothing scientific. Nothing makes sense. It's fine. So it's really weird there. So I totally get coming here and going, holy shit, I'm doing it, you guys. But it's really kind of a look at me. Like most social media posts, it's a look at me. Look what I'm doing. I put the bare minimum of effort into doing a thing. Everybody recognize how cool I am because I'm wearing a mask in the middle of the Moody Theater. Wow. It's not really Mount... climbing a mountain kind of a deal, but cool, good for you. You made the trip. You paid for an Uber. You stood in line. What a trailblazer. Anyway, another person I know, I would have never seen that, but it was another person that I know complaining about that. And really just kind of like, just furious that they're being safe, but that somebody else is going out there and doing stuff that it's like, just pisses me off that people like this come here and do stuff that I wish I was doing. And but not really. Like, it's more of the idea of them doing something that they would never do in the first place. It's like, it's, because I'm looking at this person and I don't know, and I'm like, you wouldn't go to the Moody Theater. You certainly wouldn't go to see who's playing that night. You know who's playing that night? The Allman Betts Band. You know who that is? That's Greg Allman's son from the Allman Brothers and Dwayne Betts from the Allman Brothers. Both are dead, but their sons formed a band. So you telling me that you wish, instead of being home, you wished you were wearing a mask in the middle of a Moody Theater watching the sons of the Allman Brothers Band playing Allman Brothers Band type music, but not really? That sounds terrible. That's what you're jealous of? Shut up, Gary. His name's not Gary, but, you know, it's a callback from last week. Anyway, shut up, Gary. It's just, it's, you know, envy is one of the seven deadly sins, right? I am not religious, but the seven deadly sins are, I mean, those do suck. Those do poison you, all of them. I know, I've dabbled in most of them. But envy is a bad one, man. Pride is kind of tied to that shit too, but it reminded me of that's what this pandemic's kind of done. It's helped me deal with envy when it comes to like stand-up comedy specifically, but also in just in general. And it's kind of uncomfortable because it's like, ugh. I grew as a person. I don't like that. I don't mind the growth, but like realizing it and saying it, did I evolve emotionally and grow as a person? Ah, shut up, hippie. Hippie Gary. There's something about, and it happens, I think, for everybody because we're all human beings. But for me specifically, you see somebody being successful in relation to them being stand-up comedians. And for whatever reason, you feel that you're better than them, or you've been doing it longer, or you've paid more dues. That, so you immediately, you know, you go, ugh, and it makes you feel, yeah, you get mad, jealous, and just, you know, spiteful about it. And I think almost everybody goes through that. And it really took being here, it really took like lockdown shit and all this other stuff and seeing people who were not good. I've talked shit about it a lot, about people doing shows and telling people who live in Austin that if you see comedy shows and you don't recognize any of the names, there's a reason. Like, even if you live here and you don't recognize any of the normal names, you know, like, and I know local comedians, no, none of them are doing these shows. There's a reason. They're not safe. They're not run safely. But understanding that it's my choice to be, because I'm being safe and because I'm 47, I'm like, how old am I? 46? You're 47. Okay. 47. And knowing that the level of shows that are going on, the level of audiences that are actually going to these shows, some of these just off shows, not like the bigger ones that are actually testing everybody and stuff. You know, these are not all like going to see Dave Chappelle live, right? At Stubbs. These are all like just little mini shows in some bar. Oh, so it's outside? No, it's inside the bar. Okay, I'm not going to go to that show. Knowing that there's a reason I'm not going to those, so why be jealous of those because I'm choosing not to? And also, it doesn't matter. In the long grand scheme of things, the way things are designed, if you work hard enough and you're good enough and the product you're making is enough, you can get it out there from anywhere in the country, you know, online and stuff. And that doing comedy, of course, is going to help go out and practice and stuff. But like right now, it's just, you know, is this the most important thing? But regardless, don't be envious of other people, especially of, I mean, even if it was worth it, which it's not, even if they were good shows, which they're not, why would you be envious? And it took me a while. I mean, 47. That's over 20 years of doing comedy. Constantly being envious of other people and going, I could do that. Well, you didn't. You didn't make those connections. You didn't make those relationships. You didn't jump through those hoops because you felt that those hoops were stupid. That the idea of doing that hoop jumping did not fit your comedy and fit your personality. And you're probably right. But if you're not going to do that, you can't get jealous of other people who actually jumped through those hoops, who actually did hustle and feel like, you know, really worked on their brand. And you think that's stupid, which I do. But you can't then turn around and then be envious of their success when you didn't agree with that method of doing it. You know what I mean? It's interesting to get to a point to finally realize it's like, look, you gotta just respect the hustle and just let people go, oh, good for them. Now, let's focus on me. What exactly am I going to do? What do you want to do? If that's not what you wanted to do, you can't be jealous of it. Doesn't make any sense. Except that we all do that. You know, to a degree. Everybody's different, of course, but we all, I mean, that's just one of those things. It's, I want that success. I want that. And it's just like, what do you want? Did you want that? Not really. Then why are you being jealous? What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? I want everybody to like me. Yeah, well. Anyway, that's just, I know I rambled about it, but it's, I just had to explain that it's weird to finally come to a place where I'm still going to feel those things. But it's like, but it's at least I recognize it. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's that feeling. Yeah. But you talk it out. It's that whole, it's the same thing with recovery where you get those thoughts and it starts making you feel a certain way. So you reexamine those thoughts and you go, wait a minute, hang on there, Johnny. Why do you feel that way? You know, do you see why that's dumb? So stop feeling that way because the thoughts that you're having doesn't make sense and realize that, it's okay. You know, it's okay that you didn't tell jokes to five people in a shitty bar and risk your health. You know, it's okay that you didn't risk getting sick to tell dick jokes to no one. And you know what? I'm not even opposed to I'm not saying I won't do shows during a pandemic. If it's set up right, when people start going out, I'm wondering if we're going to get that point. I think that people, I think we need to start figuring out how to do stuff like that. Like safely put on comedy shows, safely put on show music shows for people with limited capacity outdoors. Once it kind of warms up here, it's starting to warm up. We're going to have to just figure that out. Because people have to work, we have to, you know, go out and do stuff, and we just should figure out how to do it safely. And realizing that, by the way, that there was this New York Times article that was explaining how is it that some people who got vaccines still got COVID? Because there have been a few people that have. You know, a small portion of people who still become positive after getting the vaccine. Like some people in Congress and shit. Like it's like some notable people who got the vaccine still ended up getting COVID. And they had to explain. In the articles, like some of it's vaccines don't work instantly. They don't work retroactively. You know, the efficacy rates are high, but they're not 100% for some of them, for all of them, actually. But, you know, like the Pfizer Moderna vaccines are extremely high, but they're not 100%. I saw that Johnson & Johnson's like, bragging said that their efficacy rate of their vaccine, it's like a one-shot vaccine, it's 77%. You're bragging that it's 75-77%, because you know the numbers are inflated, you know that when they're promoting, you don't believe everybody, right? Like if Pfizer says it, oh, it's 95, you know it's more like 86. And Johnson & Johnson, oh boy, those people, god damn, son. Johnson & Johnson bragging at about 75. Fuck, is this 50%? Is this half? Is this a coin toss vaccine? I'm going to... Quick shout out. Don't take the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. That seems like a made in America. No, thank you. Which one's the one the Germans made? I mean, I don't want the Germans running anything with people, but if they're going to engineer some shit, I want the Germans shit. I really do. The big thing is, I always end up bringing the COVID thing, but I have a point here, is that this is the article. This is a paragraph from that article. I really want to bring this up. The vaccine prevents illness, but may not prevent infection. COVID vaccines are being authorized based on how well they keep you from getting sick, needing hospitalization, and dying. Scientists don't know yet how effective the vaccines are at preventing the coronavirus from infecting you to begin with, or at keeping you from passing it on to others. And that's why vaccinated people should keep wearing masks and maintain social distancing. Do you get that? I don't know if a lot of people get that. I think a lot of people think they're going to get a vaccine. It's like, now I can go back to normal. No, you can't. This is, you know, until everybody gets vaccinated, and they're not, because not everybody's going to take it. And people who've gotten COVID, like, you're not immune anymore. You can still pass it along. It's really important to build up your immune system, you guys. Take the vaccine. Great. Good for you. But you still need to be taking vitamin D and still getting a lot of sleep, still being healthy, and still being safe. We have to figure out how to do stuff while also maintaining safety as we get through this. You can't think that this thing's going to fix. Vaccines isn't going to solve the problem. It's not going to go away. Variants are coming. The variants are coming. Thank you, Paul. I just wanted to bring that up. I just wanted to reemphasize that because I think we have to figure out, you know, you've got to live your life and figure it out. The things that you want to do, you can't go, well, I'm just going to wait until things come back to normal. We don't know if there's ever going to be normal. It's going to get better over time, hopefully. But we've got to figure out how to do stuff. You know what I mean? Or, you know, the people in charge need to figure out, I don't know. You got to figure out how to live your life. Get ready. You know, what? Take care of yourselves, basically. And on top of that, keep being, you know, keep maintaining that sobriety or that sanity, depending on your situation. You guys know I'm not preaching at you specifically, right? I'm just talking out loud about things. A lot of it for me, but also to let you know what I've looked at and went, holy shit, you guys. I appreciate you letting me just kind of ramble and rant. I do. And I appreciate you coming by every week. I hope this helps you a little bit, or at least gives you something to do for half an hour. Because it definitely, I enjoyed it. We will see you next week. Be safe, be sane, be sober if you're a sober person. This is the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Raven. Later. Back for the piercing skin. Come back down to earth again. The cold is creeping deep inside. Disconnect the telephone line.